This show is for entertainment purposes only. Do your own research. We do not have a fact-checking department. Any claims made by any person appearing on the Intel Scanner Radio Show are the view of the individual. The Intel Scanner Radio Show does not endorse nor pander to anybody. We are completely First Amendment approved, and the NSA does not thank you for listening.
And here we are, another Tuesday night on the Intel Scanner. Beers and Bibles we're doing tonight. That's just fun to say. And yeah, should we just jump right into it? Let's introduce who we have tonight. We have the inspector running in, the professor on sound.
Check.
We don't have a fun stage name for you.
Easy. You can take a while.
The promoter.
We have Easy Roy.
Easy Roy. We have Easy Roy.
Easy? I've been called a lot of things, but Easy isn't one of them.
That was your suggestion.
Easy Roy, and I am the Reverend. We'll be trying to hold it together here. We're having a very, very righteous show this evening.
Cinco de Mayo nearly killed me with tequila.
Beers and Bibles. I forgot my Bible. Am I okay still?
Can
I be here?
Here, we'll
I got beer.
We'll give you this one. This is the New Century.
The New Century.
Is that a living Bible that's been changed from the King James Version?
So this is only 14 years old?
It's in really special proper English. It's like kids PG. It's good. But we got the King James here, so we got fire and brimstone to go.
This is a lie. The New Century? This is copyright 1991.
Well, that's last century.
They're lying
to me. Who
knows?
Maybe the Bible is written 1991. Maybe we're caught in the Matrix.
We are caught in the Matrix.
It's a possibility.
I'll take the blue pill.
Well, so here we are. The book of Genesis.
Page one.
So we'll start with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now, you checked on it that all the different versions of the English Bible start out with this.
Yeah, somewhat of a facsimile of that. I'd like to read the International Standard Version. It's kind of short and brief, and here we go. In the beginning, God created the universe.
It just summed it all up right there, then. And
hey, how much
I like heavens and the universe.
You know, I like the heavens and the earth also.
And I want it all. I like the universe.
The universe.
It's everything. It's all encompassing.
But it's only one universe, whereas he created the heavens and the earth.
But if he created the universe,
which could be more than one universe,
which is almost like even different dimensions,
right?
But think about it. God has no beginning and no end. The universe has no beginning and no end. He did it in his own image.
If there is a God. We'll find out here by the
which
end of
God?
The show.
There is.
We will find out.
Well, there's plenty of gods.
Yes, we're going to find out which God is correct. We're going to call on them all. We're going to call them all a bunch of fucking stooges and see which one shoots down with lightning and we'll believe it.
That's the one I would follow.
That's the one I'm scared of. Right. That's the one I live in fear of. So
shoot me with lightning.
There we go. We're going to find out. Odin, Allah, God of Abraham. We're going to find out here.
Oh, I hope somebody calls in. I want to hear about someone else's favorite God tonight, too.
Yes, absolutely. The lines are open, and we would love to hear who your favorite God is. 406-545-4496.
Right? Who's your favorite God?
Yeah, which one's your favorite God?
Who's
God
of the day?
Cali. I like Cali. That's a pretty cool one.
The top 10?
Yeah, probably. Top 10.
How can you not like a God with more than two arms?
Right?
Yeah.
So with us... With
swords.
Us tonight, we have a few versions of the Old and New Testament in front of us here.
Oh yes, we kind of got into that a little. Yes,
if you have an opinion on any of these, or if you have a different version, you can also call in on that. We'd love to hear more perspectives.
Can I be the fact-checking department tonight? Ooh. According to Bible Hub on the internet, which gives parallels from a whole bunch of different Bibles. Is that okay?
Well, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
Because I forgot my Bible and I just brought beer and I'm lazy and I'm not too smart.
And you have all the information of the whole accumulated mankind's wealth of information all in one little handheld device. Yeah, amazing.
The world's largest junkyard right here in front of me.
Right. What if Moses had that? Legs. His head would have exploded. Right? Just information overload.
He went away for a few days and came back all gray.
Over to he went up to the mount.
Right.
Went up to Big Sinai and came back a man.
An old man.
There's another character that did that mythology. His name was Rumpelstiltskin.
He slept for a long time.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Oh, he slept and then had to weave the chick's hair or whatever the deal?
Something like that.
Something like that. Well, how do we like the Genesis story of where women came from? Do we believe this? The rib?
From the rib of Adam.
From the rib. And here we are. This is Genesis 2:21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man."
Woe, man. So she brings woe unto man.
Yes.
Is that what that's about?
That is what it's saying, right?
That's kind of my interpretation.
Of man.
Well, we all remember the classic joke. We got people running in and out of the studio. This is a madhouse here.
I'll go ahead and read the New International Version. So... Okay, Genesis 2:21. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man."
So do we really believe that? Is that...
Well,
mine doesn't say God.
Well, you know the original story of Genesis, right? When God came to Adam and he said, "If you give me an arm, a leg, and an eyeball, I will create you the most loyal, greatest companion that the universe has ever known." Adam was like, "What can I get for a rib?" Anyway, here we are moving on. So obviously the God of Moses isn't the one we should be fearing. He would have struck it down with that one. But we'll see. We got a long show to go here. We're going
to
see
what
God we can hear to strike down us with lightning.
Someone's getting hit by lightning tonight.
Somebody's getting hit with lightning. That's what we're banking on. we have some fun things planned for later in the show. I don't even want to. We're gonna stick to the script for now. Genesis 6:1. This was a little bit fun. "Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, 'My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So, what are they saying about the daughters of men? Are these other creatures coming in that are dating the daughters of men?
I mean, how many men were there at that point?
It says only Adam,
I thought.
Genesis 6:2, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. Now, is that kind of scary? That's kind of...
Yeah, so who's are these sons of God?
So who are these people that are taking the daughters of men? As they choose.
As they choose.
In the words of my beard. Oh, yeah.
In the words of Anheuser-Busch.
Yes, tonight's show is brought to you by Miller Lite.
Get your beer to go with that, by the way.
Yeah, and I would appreciate them sending some royalty money our way. That's kind of an odd verse, right?
That is an odd verse. Who are these sons of God that take the daughters of man as wives?
As they choose.
As they choose. What sort of powers did they have that they could just come and
wait a minute, I thought there was only one son of God.
Well, it says that there are sons.
There's only one son of God.
Sons of God. We have our first sons, we have our first barn burner.
A bit of a discrepancy here.
We have our first barn burner. We better start making notes of all the barn burners, and we'll do a recheck.
The sons here. Of God. Yeah, there were many.
I distinctly remember in Catholic school that there was only one son of God.
That's what I remember hearing. But we have some more information coming here soon.
Historically, we are taught that he was born, from December 25th or sometime around there, that coincides with some of the pagan holidays around solstice in the wintertime. And that
oddly
kind of
enough.
But
wasn't Jesus born in the summer?
Late August.
We're not even on the New Testament. Well, we have.
Anyway.
We have New Testament coming.
We got a lot to go before we get there.
It's a whole other book.
We haven't even set of books. We haven't even gotten out of Abraham yet. We haven't even cracked the seal really on.
We're in Genesis.
Yeah, well, God, Abraham. It's
so are these legitimate or illegitimate sons?
Who's that?
Are these legitimate or illegitimate sons?
Sons of God. Oh, the sons of God.
Of God, yes.
See, that's the question. That really is... I don't know, I just thought that was... It's worded in a way to where it's very open-ended, and it makes you wonder that they're just whoever these demons are, whoever they are, they're just getting their pick of whoever.
Sons of God. I don't know if they're demons. It doesn't say demons, but it also says that there were giants in the earth in those days. And also, after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. So giants, apparently, bred with
and what
the daughters of men.
What verse was that? So we could follow up.
Genesis 6, verse 4. Yes, so there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that.
Mm-hmm.
So is that who rules over us now?
Wait a minute. I may have the
sons of God with
to your question here.
Cool. Who were these giants? And
the Nephilim were on earth in those days.
Uh-huh.
And also afterward, when the sons of God went to the daughters of humans and had children by them, they were the heroes of old, men of renown. That is according to the New International Version of the Bible.
So they changed giants to Nephilim?
Also referred to as Nephilites.
Yeah.
The Nephilim, where do they come up at? I know they come up in here in Genesis somewhere. I'd heard that before.
Yeah. 6-4.
The giants?
Yeah, 6-4.
By name?
Yep.
Well, in the King James, it says giants. It doesn't say in Nephilim.
I got the New International here.
Right. The International Standard says the Nephilim were on earth at that time and also immediately afterward. When those divine beings were having sexual relations with those human women who gave birth to children for them, these children became the heroes and legendary figures of ancient times.
So really, it's pretty much pretty, always slutty women that are the downfall of men, right?
This sounds pretty Greek to me, though.
Because that's a recurring
Greek mythology.
The Bible.
This sounds pretty Greek to me.
It does.
It's funny,
Sumerian.
A lot of the Bible is written in Greece. That's,
Aramaic and then
sounds
Greek.
Sounds more Sumerian.
And, Hebrew, and it's been written in a lot of languages.
Oh, it was originally written in some old form of Latin, wasn't it?
Aramaic first, and nothing was really written until about 300 years after the death of Christ.
Oh, no, they had things written down. There was lots right from the old Romans. There was Romans writing long before that. Well, I don't know. The Giants, how do we feel on that? Is this hype? Are they just trying to say that there's a hierarchy and you need to always bow down and understand that there's people that sit above you? Is that what that source is telling you, or is it
aliens?
Is that aliens?
Aliens.
Because we're gonna get into the Book of Ezekiel here in a minute, and the Book of Ezekiel is the first count of a UFO sighting. But is that what we're thinking on that? The Nephilim? They were. Otherworldly creatures coming down here?
Sons of God.
It definitely separates them from the humans, and they had sexual intercourse with the human women. I mean, it's pretty clear about that in all the versions of the Bible that I have here.
It says that in every Bible, that these beings had sex with human women.
So
women
giants.
Giving birth to...
Yeah, I've got 20 different versions.
So consensus is... who knows? We'll come back to it.
It's just sort of interworldly breeding program, it sounds like.
An intergalactic breeding program,
right.
In Genesis.
Well done. You only have one man, Adam. how can you populate the entire planet with one couple and one man? I mean, they could get together and have a whole bunch of daughters. Yeah, you've got to have somebody for those daughters. Adam ain't going to do it.
No.
Ain't going to work.
They have to have, I mean...
Well, at this point, we've already... Chapter 5 covers a bunch of lineage, so by Chapter 6, we have a bunch of people.
Well, after Cain and Abel and all that, right?
Cain and Abel and
Lamb. Welcome to the Men of Renown Club.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, it looks like it was the daughters of Noah were getting fucking flipped by these aliens. Well, should we keep moving on here? Let's jump into Exodus. We're going into... We got the five books of the Torah here. Exodus. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy.
Okay. Sorry, Exodus.
Had me going there for a minute.
So this would be the time... Well, this was the book written...
Which Exodus?
Explaining... Which Exodus? The next Exodus. When Moses was leading the Jews out of Egypt... I don't know, I've never really gotten into Exodus. Is there anything fun in here? Anybody know about Exodus? So Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, "Please let me go and return to my brethren who are in Egypt, and see whether they are still alive." And Jethro said to Moses, "Go in peace." Yeah, Moses probably owed Jethro some fucking rent money.
So. Is that peace or peace?
You know who? It says peace in here, but it could change over time. I'm sure peas were a big thing out in the Middle East. They don't need much water to grow.
Not much. You can grow them anywhere.
That was Exodus 4:18. Anything else look fun? What looks fun here?
Oh, it's all fun. From, the next thing you know, Noah's daughters were getting banged by some otherworldly folks. Noah's descendants, the Tower of Babel.
We've got the tabernacle.
Well, you know what's fun about the God of Abraham is that it spawned not only Christianity, you know, obviously Judaism, but it also spawned Islam, the nation of Islam. And, you know, you'll meet people from the Middle East that are named Abraham, that are named Isaac.
Yeah.
You won't meet any Johns, Peters, Pauls, or Mikes, but you'll meet a lot that have. The Amish, he's like Ezekiel and weird Old Testament names.
Abraham and Isaac.
Lots of Abrahams. Abraham is real popular. I don't know. Bible.
Exodus 22. Looks pretty interesting. Go into some protection of property. Verse 2, if a thief is caught breaking in and is struck so that he dies, the defender is not guilty of bloodshed. But if it happens after sunrise, he is guilty of bloodshed.
That has some relevance in the current media right now with the karma guy over in the western part of the state that shot the guy that was going into his house in the middle of the night.
The exchange student,
shot the exchange student, and he did it before daybreak.
So he should be
not
guilty.
And he was caught breaking in at night. I would say that there is a higher standard here beyond just the castle law that comes from the good book.
And we just quoted it.
Somebody call in and let us know what you think about that.
The answer is there.
What? That's a fun little side note. What do we think about these people that are robbing houses and getting their heads blown off? And there's people that are crying for it, that are like, we need gun control. Like, this just happened in California. I read it this morning. A 14-year-old and a 17-year-old boy break into a house. 80-year-old woman blows their brains out because she doesn't know if she's about to get raped or whatever. And all of a sudden, there's cries for gun control. And it's like, what about the victim here? I mean, all of a sudden the scumbags are fucking the ones being protected, and it's been happening a lot, like in Missoula, with the fucking idiot from Germany. He got talked into going to break into somebody's house for some worthless fucking crackhead, and he got his head blown off, and all of a sudden there's these cries, and it's like, that's the game! That's the price you pay! You get caught stealing somebody's shit, you might lose your fucking life. I mean, that's the risk you play as a thief, and if you don't understand that, don't become a fucking thief, because you might end up with your brains blown out. And nobody's going to feel sorry for you. I mean, the media can hype this up for a political agenda or whatever, but anybody with half a fucking brain doesn't feel sorry. That's just live by the sword, die by the sword. But what's everybody's opinion on that? Because a lot of people have been talking about it. Everybody wants to talk about that. It's,
people need to be able to defend themselves.
Yeah.
So gun control is really not an option for that. I mean, if law-abiding citizens can't get guns or won't get them because it's against the law, that will not stop a criminal from getting a gun and using it to commit crimes. Obviously. I mean, clearly.
Only criminals will have guns then.
Only the outlaws and criminals will have guns. And the, you know, regular folk won't be able to defend themselves. Unless we get, like, develop some kind of laser technology so that only criminals can have guns, but yeah, we have lasers. So, you know, that'd be all right, too. But you always run the risk. If you're a criminal, you want to break into someone's house, you're a burglar, just know that Americans have guns, and you are running a huge risk getting shot.
Big time.
To death. Because you come in the wrong house, someone's going
to
kill you.
If you found somebody... If you woke up and you just happened to have a pistol with you and you found somebody in your house, my first reaction would be to kill them. That would my immediately for I wouldn't even fucking think twice. And that's why you don't go breaking into people's houses.
Especially not in this part of the country. I
mean, especially in this fucking goddamn part of the country.
We get your goddamn down where I come from in Wyoming, the average gun collection site is around 50 on average. 50 guns people have in their houses. I mean, I had a small collection. I only had 17.
I know a bunch of idiots and rejects that have guns in this town, and you wouldn't think it. You go into their house and your brains are fucking going to be outside of your head. And I don't know. And it's happening a lot. And it's
a friend of mine owned a gun shop, and he had this really beautiful sign up there that I remember as I was a kid, really old guy.
I wish I had
and
a gun.
It said that he who would break into my house and steal from me holds my life and my value and my property at no value. Therefore, his life and his property are of no value to me.
Yes. Right. Exactly. And it's not like a vengeful thing. It becomes a survival instinct.
And respect.
And you can't be like the guy that got his house robbed in Missoula. He got it robbed so many damn times. It was robbed several times. And I guess he kind of set a trap or something.
Well, he was heard in church saying that, I'm going to go shoot me some kid tonight when my house gets broke into again. Because they'd been broken into so many times, basically stating, next time my house gets broken into,
I'd be tired of it too.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd blow somebody's brains out, but I don't know. You break their kneecaps or something. I don't know.
Well, you never know who you're dealing with. You're home, somebody's breaking in, they're desperate. This is someone who's desperate that's breaking into somebody else's place. Into your place, in your own home. If someone's coming into your place, secured and locked, goes through all this trouble to do this, he is desperate.
And actually, just on your comment, Reverend, I think you'd be better off just killing them rather than breaking their kneecaps because of the lawsuits that would come after the medical shit. Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, if you break their kneecaps, then they're going to sue you for damages.
Yeah.
And everything else.
And fucking...
Which that is ridiculous. How is that a thing? Who came up with that?
Yeah, make sure they're some dead stupid or you lawyer will get sued.
Yes, that's that is exactly who comes up with this crap.
Yeah,
lawyers, they're the new priest class, basically.
It's the judges and lawyer class. Yeah.
New priest class that doesn't really have to produce anything. As they don't produce a damn thing.
You know, as we move on with the Bible show, yes.
Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. When you give testimony in a lawsuit, do not pervert justice by siding with the crowd, and do not show favoritism to a poor man in his lawsuit.
Yes.
Hey, we're in Exodus. That was 23, verse 2.
You just call Exodus a thousand 23. Lawyers on a cruise ship that's sinking.
That's a good start.
Thank you.
Fucking, yeah, a party. If only there was like 5,000 lawyers taking a cruise.
We could arrange for that sinking.
Maybe there was a bunch of lawyers on that plane that went down. And somebody with half a heart was like, you know what, shoot them. Shoot her down like it's like 200 corporate lawyers, just all pieces of trash.
One could
shoot it down.
Yeah, how would they solve things if there were no lawyers?
Yeah, how would the world go on without lawyers and judges? Wow, I was just thinking that.
We would be lost, all of us.
It would be over.
Wandering.
The world would stop spinning. Really, gravity would stop. Electromagnetism would just cease to exist. It would. Yeah,
planets would collide.
Thank God for lawyers and judges. Thank God.
Dogs
all
and
the gods.
Cats sleeping together. Mass hysteria.
All the gods, from Zeus to Mars to Shiva to Allah. Thank you for judges and lawyers. That's really a gift. Really a gift to mankind. The whole temple of law is really just not corruptible. It just stands as an uncorruptible fucking temple that people stay worshiping. Oh, here we are. We got Deuteronomy 19:21. Your eye shall not pity. Life shall be for life. Life shall be for life.
Hold on. I want to follow along.
Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot.
That was Deuteronomy 19:20?
Deuteronomy 19:21.
It was a great year for wine, too.
Wow. It was a great year for communism. 1921 was a good one.
Yes.
The Chinese communists were getting rolling. Bolshevik Revolution was just in full swing.
Would you read your King James again?
Meanwhile, there was a sexual revolution going on in America.
Not 1921. That didn't start till the 50s.
There's an earlier one.
Kinsey's garbage ass fucking... Here we are. Deuteronomy 19:21. Your eye shall not pity. Life shall be for life. Eye for eye. Tooth for tooth. Hand for hand. Foot for foot.
Well, here the NIV, it's a little shorter. It's the beginning's a little cut off. Show no pity, life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot.
Show no pity. Your eye shall not pity. I like show no pity. That's just cuts right to it. Your eye shall not pity. See, that could be soft or weak. Show no pity means fucking straight up cut their fucking head off.
I got one that's my kind of God. Blunt. God's word translation. Have no pity on him. Take a life. For a life, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a hand for a hand, and a foot for a foot.
Someone said an eye for an eye and the whole world would be blind. So,
well, no, that's when the one-eyed man would rule king, because he would be the last man standing.
What's an eye?
The one-eyed man.
The one-eyed man is king.
In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man rules supreme.
Would he be left-handed or right-handed?
Well, hopefully he didn't get his hand cut off and he got his eyeball cut off. Sounds like because it was the hand for a hand. He's got no teeth, no fucking hands. I got one eye. I win.
I can.
I win. Get an eye.
I win.
Okay, right. Let's
moving on.
In Deuteronomy for a second here.
Oh, we're staying in Deuter.
I've got one of my favorites here. 15, chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. And this has to do with money.
Oh, this is a good one.
At the end of every 7 years, you must cancel debts. This is how it is to be done. Every creditor shall cancel the loan he has made to his fellow Israelite. He shall not require payment from his fellow Israelite or brother, because the Lord's time for canceling debts has been proclaimed. You may require payment from a foreigner, but you must cancel any debt your brother owes you.
Do you realize that coincides
every
with the
seven years
for bankruptcy? You can file bankruptcy once every 7 years.
That's probably what they take that out of. Deuteronomy 15:1. Yeah, that's probably where they take that from.
Sweet. Every 7 years, you get a clean slate. That'd be awesome.
Well, no, because then people would just fuck up and just wait it out for 7 years. And
yeah, well, that's what people do now, kind of. See, they don't have that.
Bankruptcy follows you around, though.
Child support doesn't get taken away every 7 years like that.
No, well, none of it does.
Everything does.
Medical bills,
student
loans.
Medical bills, student loans don't. All that other stuff goes away after 7 years, basically. Trust me on this.
My
credit score is flawless.
Do we want to stay in the Torah song? Where are we at here?
In the Torah still, huh?
The Torah, first five. The five that have really shaped culture for the last several thousand years.
yeah, we'll give it the last 1,500 solid. The last 1,500 years real solid. It took a while to convert everybody to Christianity.
Jews were big, though, before that, really.
Well, the Jews were big long before that, yeah. But spreading Christianity, that took a while. That took a couple hundred years. Like, you know, up until the time of Constantine, and took a long time to pump that through the old Roman Empire.
Constantine did a lot to help Christianity. He really pumped it. He couldn't afford his foreign wars anymore, so he went out and sat on a hill and spoke to God and realized that the quickest way to get people to fight for free, because Rome was broke, was to have them fight for the religion. He became Christian that day, came back, announced his Christianity.
And you will be put to death if you're not a Christian.
The Christians fought for him. You'd be put to death if you're not a Christian. And he formed the council at Nicaea to rewrite the entire Bible of what goes in it and what doesn't.
Yeah. I was up on the hill the other day and I had an idea. I mean, I talked to God and he told me.
Oh, we watched the South Park thing, the Book of Mormon with the South Park. It's like a 6-minute thing.
Dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum.
It's fucking hilarious.
It is hilarious.
It was really funny. I had never seen it.
I want to see the golden tablets. As does everybody else.
I want to see them. And I don't want to...
But then I'm on my own planet when I die with all the virgins, too, so...
Sure. Why don't we just make our own religion? I mean, with all the good stuff from everything.
Well, we'll have to discuss that here in a little bit.
We do have a surprise for everybody.
We did a little dry run.
Flying Spaghetti Monster worked.
That's a real
religion. The Tabernacle of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. That's a real... You can be an ordained minister for them. They will ordain you.
I got a friend that started a new religion here in Montana called the Montana Coyote Growers Association, and their slogan was "Gut shoot 'em at the border." He wanted to keep Californians out.
Gut shoot 'em at the border. I love Montana.
Well, if that I invited him, I hope he's listening tonight.
If that were the case, I wouldn't be here.
You're one of them, a transplant, huh?
Oh, as am I.
I was born in California.
15 years now, though. Montana is my only home at this point.
Yeah, I've been here for over 20 years. I consider Montana home.
I'm back home.
Yeah, on and off. I've been here solid the last couple of years. But whatever. So are we moving out of the Torah now? Do we want to get into some more little fire and brimstone Bible here? Well, I always like the trifecta. There's a really fun trifecta in the Old Testament. Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel.
Just pulled that up.
How could you not? It's the Old Testament trifecta. And we got Lamentations 2:14. Your prophets have seen for you false and deceptive visions. They have not uncovered your iniquity to bring back your captives, but have envisioned for you false prophecies and delusions. So,
okay, Lamentations.
This was done as Jerusalem was falling, and this is a poem of sadness as Jerusalem was burning and falling. Lamentations 2:14.
Here we go.
It's just a fun one I found. I like the but have envisioned for you false prophecies and delusions. Really good wording in the King James version.
The visions of your prophets were false and worthless. They did not expose your sin to ward off your captivity. The oracles they gave you were false and misleading.
So that's interesting. That's all changed up. That's completely different wording.
Can I move on to 2:15?
I was waiting for you.
Everyone who passes by on the road shake their fists at you. They hiss and shake their heads at cherished Jerusalem. Is this the city men used to call the perfection of beauty and the joy of the entire earth?
It was at the time.
That was from the International Standard Version, by the way.
I'm looking at 16 right after that. All your enemies have opened their mouth against you. They hiss and gnash their teeth. They say, "We have swallowed her up. Surely this is the day we have waited for. We have found it. We have seen it."
Well, listen to the NIV here, same verse.
16.
All your enemies open their mouths wide against you. They scoff and gnash their teeth and say, "We have swallowed her up." This is the day we have waited for. We have lived to see it.
See, the interpretations of the Bible is, and we just have a couple here. The interpretation, this is awesome. The interpretations do change it up.
I like this one. All your enemies have gloated over you. They sneered and gnashed their teeth. They said, "We have destroyed her. Ha! We have waited a long time for this day. We have lived to see it."
So we got scoff, sneer, and what was your, what was King James?
Gnash.
Before hiss. Gnash. Hiss. Hiss, scoff, and sneer. They all were gnash their teeth, but hiss, scoff, and
oh,
sneer.
These guys had a gloated. They gloated over it.
See, if you weren't born speaking the English language, what a nightmare of a language this would be to learn.
Well, this even says, all that pass by clap their hands at thee. They hiss and wag their head at the daughter of Jerusalem, saying, is this the city that men call the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? All thine enemies have opened their mouth against thee. They hiss and gnash their teeth. They say, we have swallowed her up. Certainly, this is the day that we looked for. We have found, we have seen it.
Certainly.
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 Certainly. Certainly.
Certainly.
This be the day, we been waiting for the slappy.
Yep, they hiss, they gnash their teeth, they wag their head, clap their hands.
Turn themselves around.
All to Jerusalem, though, yeah, I know, right?
And put your right foot up.
Because, I don't know, it seemed like they probably had a bunch of rich people that took that ruin oppressively onto the poor people. So the poor people rose up against them. That's what always happens.
In defense, though, the Lord promised that he was going to do this in 2:17. And he followed through on his promise and kept to his word.
Sorry. So which God is this again? I forget even.
I'm
King
kinda,
James, is that the God that we're talking
kinda,
about?
I'm kind of curious here because I've got a whole lot of versions of the Bible on this, and I recognize some. There's some there that I don't know. There's a favorite of mine, the New Jerusalem Bible, that I actually like to sit down and read that isn't on here. That was kind of made popular back in the 70s with the Jesus freaks and that whole movement, and, you know, having long hair and whatnot. And people thought that was bad and a sin, but Jesus had long hair.
Jesus?
Supposedly.
Did he?
Well, the first Jesus was actually black and, you know, born in the Middle East and had dark skin and dark hair.
That's what I thought.
You know, and so was his mom. I mean, there weren't that many white guys running around.
Oh, we on the New Testament? Are we on the New Testament? I go away for 2 seconds. Right. Oh, fuck. Yeah, I knew it.
We jumped a millennium ahead.
You jumped. That's, we missed
busted out with Jesus.
See how long you were gone? We passed a whole millennium there while you were gone.
We still have Ezekiel, Daniel, and Micah to touch in with.
Oh, Psalms has a bunch of good stuff.
I'm still in Ezekiel here. I'm liking this.
Hey, what's that passage from Pulp Fiction?
I'm liking Ezekiel chapter 7.
Oh,
here.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
I will.
It was Ezekiel, the path of the righteous.
Furious anger and great vengeance.
This one's, the day is here. It has come.
Ezekiel 3:17-21.
Doom has burst forth.
It was always my favorite. That's the one from Last Days. Which one is?
The one... I'm sure it's Ezekiel. Is from Paul.
No, it is. It's Ezekiel.
Yeah.
I used to have it.
And it starts out on the path of the righteous.
Actually, is kept on all sides from the... That's what the Ezekiel one's all about. It's, gotta keep it righteous in these days of darkness. As I walk through the valley. Oh, boy. See, we got the beers going, we got the Bibles going. True to word. Well, since they're looking it up, I'd like to say something about Ezekiel. And we're going to go to Ezekiel 1:15-19. Okay? Now, as I looked at the living creatures, behold, a wheel was on the earth beside each living creature with its four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their workings was like the color of beryl, and all four had the same likeness. The appearance of their workings was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they moved, They went toward any one of four directions. They did not turn aside when they went. As for their rims, they were so high they were awesome. And their rims were full of eyes all around the four of them. Think about what he's telling you.
This is kind of quite different here.
Yeah, where'd you start with that again?
Okay, this is now these are the wheels of Ezekiel. Now these are said to be the very first eyewitness of a UFO. It's Ezekiel 1:15 through 19.
Let me read this one. As I looked at the living creatures, I saw a wheel on the ground beside each creature with its four faces. This was the appearance and structure of the wheels. They sparkled like chrysolite, and all four looked alike. Each appeared to be made like a wheel intersecting a wheel. As they moved, they would go in any one of the four directions the creatures faced. The wheels did not turn about as the creatures went. Their rims were high and awesome, and all four rims were full of eyes all around.
Well, the eyes all around, what does that mean? Like actual eyes? Is it video cameras all over it that look like little fucking glass eyeballs?
Little windows that
freaking them out? But the wheels of Ezekiel, the wheels of Ezekiel are famous. That's said, like, what exactly was he looking? Because he's saying it wasn't rotating, but they were flying without rotating.
Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 15.
Yeah, Ezekiel 1:15.
Okay. Right. See, this builds up to that more in this one, it seems like. So I start with 4. Ezekiel 1, verse 4. And I looked and beheld a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself. And the brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof as the color of amber, and out of the midst of the fire. And also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and every one had four faces, and every one had four wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. I mean, it all goes on, keeps on going like
right.
that. That's like what is exactly he's describing here?
That's a Z. are these creatures? Are these the Nephilim?
Yeah,
are these the giants that came down to pimp the fucking human chicks? As I don't know, but I do like Ezekiel 1:17. When they moved, they went toward any of four directions. They did not turn aside when they went. So these were big wheels that were flying up and moving, but they weren't turning. So they were flying with some kind of what would be described as a modern day UFO, is what Ezekiel's been saying. I mean, this has been said a lot of years.
I got it here.
Okay.
And it turns out this is a kind of a combination of Ezekiel 25:17 and Psalm of David.
Okay, hold on. We're going to go to Ezekiel 25, you say?
25:17.
And this kind of ties into our previous thing about if someone steals from you, you have a right to kill them, and it's not murder. A little bit.
Here we go.
Okay, here's the quote. Jules. This is three different places in the movie does this. Jules. There's this passage I got memorized. Ezekiel 25:17. Can I do my preacher voice in this?
I wish you would.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who in the name of charity and goodwill shepherds the wheat through the valley of the darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and the finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know I am the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon you.
Well, that is nothing like the King James Version. I have to... 25:17?
Yeah.
The
thing about it is everybody thinks this is exactly what it says because it was quoted in a movie.
By the way, that was awesome.
Yeah, this is really shortened down in this one. And I will execute great vengeance upon them with furious rebukes, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I shall lay my vengeance upon them. Yeah. And that's all it is in this.
Yep, that's the last part of what he says. It kind of combines both Ezekiel 25:17 and Psalm of David. So then the Psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside the still waters, all that stuff you hear at funerals.
Awesome. So furious anger from the Lord.
Furious
anger. Furious anger and vengeance.
As he destroys Jerusalem and Sodom and Gomorrah and how many other cities?
That's just what God does. Just don't judge him. Ah, I get it. Well,
you know which God is this again?
Yeah, which God are we even talking about? Which God are we? Do we not want to?
This kind of confuses me. It seems like there's different gods in this that want to do different things and are mad about different things, and I'm not sure exactly.
Well, I have an argument. We'll have to get into that when we get into the New Testament. I got a really fun argument.
Wants people to be this way and be that way in different ways. It's like, don't judge, Beck.
Where are you
judge.
Taking us, Reverend?
I'm Daniel here. I was going to jump into Daniel unless somebody still had something in Ezekiel. I definitely wanted to talk about the wheels of Ezekiel. I always thought that was fun. Since I was a child, that was always fun. Daniel, I have a Daniel. Daniel 12, 8 through 10. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white and refined.
Spotless.
But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand.
Mine says spotless and refined.
Spotless and refined.
Instead of white and refined.
Yeah, that shit was written in the 60s by some fucking marketing people. Boy, the New Century one, the one here, this was written by like some Sesame Street writers. I like it.
Pretty politically correct.
Yeah, well, it gives a lot of good background information stuff too, but yeah, it's very, very soft. But yeah, I like that verse in Daniel. That one's a good one. Daniel has a lot of good ones. Daniel was I had the Lion's Den story. Oh boy. Get lost in my notes here.
Some six.
Anybody else? Well, read us some lines.
Here, I like
Daniel's spaceship thing too.
If we could just jump the next page here, Hosea 3, chapter 3, a few verses here, 1-3. And the Lord said to me, go, show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. Raisin cakes. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lethic of barley. Then I told her, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute Max. Or be intimate with any man, and I will live with you.
Quit being such a whore.
Quit being such a whore, bitch.
Sorry, I had to say it.
And I bet you every God, I bet you every written religion says that. Fucking. Uh-huh. I bet you in the Hindu bullshit it says something like that.
Stop fucking all because, my friends.
God damn
it. If you stop fucking my friends, I'll stay with you, girl. Come on.
The irony is rich there. You're going to buy her and tell her to quit being a whore.
Right. So awesome. Part of the story is you can't make a whole housewife? Is that what Hosea 3, 1-3 is telling us?
The first time it was said.
Can't make a whole housewife. I think Dr. Dre has read Hosea. Right. All right, moving on. good verse.
It is
verse.
A good one.
Look, my next one, I don't know if it's going to top that one.
She's a hoe into a housewife.
I'm killing it.
Buy her for 12 shekels and tell her to quit hooking.
should we take a quick break? Want to keep rolling?
Take a break before we hit the New Testament.
Yeah, let's well, there's a little bit of Old Testament
little bit left.
Well, let's finish up the Old Testament here.
Finish the Old Testament first.
Yeah, we just got.
I had going to be a lot.
I had
no. We're almost.
Oh boy, New Testament's one's
that's
gonna
a lot.
Fun.
Yeah,
this was. We had Bible study for the next one's going
to
get. Fun.
Anyone want to call into it and have
please
something
do.
To say about it? What is the number again?
It is
545.
Yeah.
4496.
That's it. So give us a call. We'd love to hear your opinion. Especially if they contrast with ours. If you know which one of these gods is the one true God, please call and let us know. That'd be awesome.
I would really like it if somebody of faith called in. Now, I don't care what kind of faith.
Just if they have some.
Just faith. If you got faith. If you believe that something will come to happen when there is no proof whatsoever that it will actually happen and you know it's going to, please call us.
Don't let my faith down. So you want to talk to a prophet, really. You want to talk to a prophet. If there's any prophets out there that aren't false prophets, please give us a call also. Sure, I'll hear some.
Or a false prophet.
Whatever.
Like a false prophet.
Sure, why not?
We won't tell God.
I'm a false prophet.
We'll block his call.
I'm a false prophet, so you won't even want to know. You know?
So, yeah. So, we have a false prophet in the house now.
Right in the house.
Send this on over to the inspector.
But the thing is, what's really true is we're all going to die someday.
We got to pay taxes and we die. That's the only two sure things.
That's for sure.
Well, this was a good one. I've always liked this one. It was Malachi.
I like that name.
That's a cool name, isn't it?
Cool. Children of the Corny. It's kind of Children of the Corny to me, man. Yeah, Children of the Corny.
Isaac-y.
Malachi.
Ezekiel. Those are all good names, actually, aren't they?
You notice how horror movies, all the really scary, satanic, evil, demonic, possessed things, have characters named Malachi.
Jedediah. They're like because they're trying to like put them all with these horrible Jewish names. They put everything with bad connotations. That's what Children of the Corn is. That's an anti-Semitic movie, isn't it? I just figured out. Named him Isaac. They put Isaac, the son of Abraham,
Malachi,
ahead of all the kids, kill off all the adults. That's a Bolshevik Revolution movie. Wow.
Yeah,
I just saw that.
Wow, that's crazy.
A total.
It is,
that's exactly where Stephen King got that fucking idea, isn't
bastard.
It?
Bastard.
Stephen King's anti-Semitic. We just solved the mystery here. Yep. On the Intel Scanner.
The ground up there is sour.
The birth givers. Malachi 2:3. Behold, I will rebuke your descendants and spread refuse on your faces, the refuse of your solemn feasts, and one will take you away with it. Then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, and my commandment with Levi may continue, says the Lord of hosts. I always like the spread refuse on your faces. That just seems like something that my kind of God would say. I don't know your kind of God. Oh, if I was going to be scared of
God. I think I've seen that on the internet once.
Why, God?
Refuse on the face.
Refuse on somebody's face? Is that on YouTube?
Yeah, that's pretty
Somebody Google that. We didn't call it.
It is on YouTube.
Okay, I gotcha. Whoa. I gotcha. Well, I don't know. Is that it? Anybody else anything else from the Old Testament you wanted to add? I mean, there's all sorts of things. We had Cain and Abel. There's Jonah and the whale.
Job.
Sodom and Gomorrah burning.
How to rob God, also in Malachi.
How to rob God.
I can steal from God.
Chapter 3.
What do I get?
We'll start with verse 8 here.
What you can.
Will a man rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it.
Wait a minute, though. Didn't God's other son, not the first sons, that one Jesus that we hear about, turn over the tables of the money changers and say, don't do this. It's not about
making offerings. Are we talking about the sons of God? Like the giants?
We had the giants first sex with all the women.
Right.
But then we had the son of God, Jesus, who went out there and said, no.
We don't know this guy yet. I don't
we don't know this guy.
Yeah, we're not. We're going to take a quick little break here.
There must be that
we're going to turn the heat up for the second half, definitely. I've got a good little argument here. We're going to discuss who exactly the Virgin Mary was, what kind of woman she was to want to sleep with such a hateful man and give birth to a child. We're gonna delve into that a little bit. We're gonna find out who the apostles really were. Were they just a bunch of fun-loving Jews running around the desert, fucking big beards, fancy robes?
So stay tuned. We'll be back after this short music break.
I turn my words and I throw them away.
back.
Here we are, back at the Intel Scanner, Tuesday night. We're doing a fun little Bible study tonight.
It's a biblical broadcast.
Thought we would calm it down a little tonight. Keep it calm.
It's beer. Sure, the word of God.
The last couple shows were highly produced. We thought we would do something a little off the cuff. A little fun here. We're opening up New Testament. New Testament, for anybody that doesn't know, New Testament's strictly for Christian folk. Obviously, the Jewish people do not believe in the New Testament. Which brings up a topic about Israel. Because the people of Israel technically are Christians. They're not Jews, so to speak. Correct?
Well, they say that Israel wouldn't be a nation again until the Messiah came.
Well, that's exactly right. The Jewish people can't have their own state until the Messiah returns. So that would mean they would have to be believers that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, was the true Messiah, for them to have a state. I don't know.
So maybe there is an agenda to push the state to prove that there would be no Messiah.
I got a personal thought.
There you go.
Just so people can hate me.
Yes, easy, Ryan.
I really wish Christians would be less Christian and more Christ-like. Christ was a cool dude. He turned water into wine and, you know, healed people and all kinds of cool stuff. I kind of liked him. And he talked about love.
Fed the masses. Talked about love.
Said, the Sermon on the Mount, he said, I am love. I am the way.
You know what I wish people would do? Is stop needing to be scared of a fucking God to be a moral person and just be moral because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Because if you're a moral person and you're only a moral person because you believe a God is going to come down and burn your soul, if you're not a moral person, just be moral because it's the right thing to do.
Have a fucking conscience.
That's a fear-based mentality.
Exactly.
And that will always put you under control.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. And that's what we're trying to get out here. Is we're not sitting here trying to badmouth the Bible or anything. Just understand narrative. Understand how narrative is written. Understand how books are written. Understand how a story unfolds with good characters and bad characters, and it'll go from dialogue speaking to you know, written in essay form. Just understand that it's all, everything is for agenda purposes, and you can combine a whole bunch of writings from hundreds of years and put them in a book and take things in and out and create this masterpiece of a book when it's nothing like it originally was written. But here we go. I got Matthew 1:17. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. We're going to go Matthew 1:17. This is the King James Version. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity of Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until Christ are 14 generations. So that means we have 42 generations from Abraham until the birth of Christ.
And yours says that the captivity of Babylon?
Captivity, yes.
And my New International phrases this as the exile to Babylon.
Wow, see it down right here. We're already running into problems now. Look at this. Because that is saying two very different things.
Very different.
That's one saying in, one saying out. That's completely 50-50. And there you go. And that's how things can get lost in translation, right there. Matthew 1:17. And that was, I read from the King James. Professor read from...
New International Version.
New International Version. What are you rocking over there, Professor?
Oh, this is a King James. This is a King James. And it says 14 generations... until the carrying from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations.
So yours is closer to this one, the exile to Babylon.
Well, I just thought it was interesting. Wow. 42 generations of people, according to Matthew, from Abraham to the birth of Christ. 42 generations of people. That's a long time. That's a long time to take writings from all sorts of different times and manipulate it to just form to ones to all conform to one epic goal. And don't think we're not coming to Revelation. Oh, we're shutting it down with Revelation when we get to the end, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, what is, what was, and what is to be. we are going to shut it down hardcore with Revelation. But I thought that was interesting. 42 generations.
And how many years is a generation? I mean, is that like a 20-year generation, or is that a 70-year generation?
And there certainly is a lot of math in the Bible, that's a question. How do we interpret this literally?
How long does somebody live? You know, what's the average lifespan?
Because they were living, they were saying like 800, 900 years in Genesis. People were living.
Yeah.
So
we skipped over it, but it had a whole listing of
maybe that was the sons and daughters of the sons.
Moses, 500 years at least.
Yeah. And then it says everyone else after that shall live 120 years.
Just think about how big pimpin' you could be. If you had slaves living 500 years, boy, you could get some good labor out of it.
You sure could.
Have we had anyone live past 120 years recently? What's the latest records? I mean, we are at like 120 years, is what I'm saying.
It's right around in there.
Yeah, 121. I think I remember somebody doing 124, but it was a while back.
Allegedly it was when human beings lived an agrarian lifestyle before we built these huge cities and these city states, that human beings just naturally lived a long time. I'd heard that. That's why the Bible speaks about living a long time at the beginning. It's because it was before the creation of
The feudal system
Before feudalism, before.
And the ownership of man and labor.
Before the beasts, the giants came down and pimped all the women and created a super race. Right?
They lived 800
years. That's what they're saying what happened to Genesis, right?
They lived 800 years.
That's what
they're
saying.
That, or they didn't know how to count back then.
which could be, too, because a lot of people were fucking idiots.
They didn't know how to count.
42 generations, a lot of people. So what do we think about the New Testament? What's the favorite book of the New Testament? Go.
Well, Revelation.
You got to be Revelations. Yeah. That's everybody's favorite.
Absolutely.
Death and destruction.
But we're going to wait a minute.
The Jesus stuff has been beat and nailed down a few times.
It's been nailed up to
the cross and drugs.
The end of the world is near.
They've been saying that since 2,000, 3,000 years ago.
Who's that one pastor, that one funky church that said the world was going to end on whatever day?
Oh, yeah, what a fucking
got everybody to sell all their stuff and everything else, and it didn't end, and he's like, oh, we made an error.
Yeah, in the math.
Ooh, we're going to send it over to the judges. No apocalypse. No,
sorry.
I forgot to mention my error bars. Plus or minus 20
it's
years.
Plus or minus infinity, yeah.
But hey, it's the apocalypse. It's not like an exact thing. But as it says, and he was a Christian man preaching, and it says in the Bible, we should have picked up the exact verse, no man will know the exact date of Judgment Day. And it says that. So anybody who was following him should know that they were following a false prophet. I don't feel sorry for any of them. Give up all your money to somebody like that, stooge it. Bible tells you. Nobody fucking knows. So anybody who's telling you they know, David Koresh, Jim Jones. They don't know.
It comes up at the end.
False prophets.
It comes up at the end of every century, every millennium.
All the time. I want a cult. I want people to give me money.
Oh, I know. We're going to start a religion.
Drugs,
I'm breaking into a tour. Hold on. I'll wait till the end of the show.
We have a special announcement. You're going to have to hold on till the end.
Big announcement. Fucking New Testament style big. I had a chapter here I wanted to go on. It's 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, section 9 through 13. This one's a fun one.
One second.
I think you're going to like this. Yeah, we better all find this one because you're going to like it. 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, part 9. All right, here we go. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, I think that's a very...
Well, let's hear the expanded
new international
version.
It's really good in the new century.
That's
Let me
great.
Find it.
Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God.
Oh, they added good words.
I got a great one here.
We're expanding vocabularies here on the Intel Scanner.
This one is from the King James Bible, and it doesn't say anything about homosexuals, but it does say I can't masturbate anymore.
Ooh, we're going to send that one over to judges. No, that's...
Know ye
you
not,
better cut my hands off.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves.
We are an
abuser of myself.
Wow, we are expanding our vocabulary. Wow,
metrosexual is not
metrosexual. That's what's going to appear in that.
Nor self-abuse.
Nor metrosexuals will get into the kingdom of God.
Nor abusers.
According to King James. But according to King James, the homosexuals, they're in.
He's the king. You can't
argue. I like that.
Yeah, I thought that was a good one.
I think that's what they mean by the effeminate.
Effeminate. Yeah, dictionary.
Effeminate. Somebody look that up and call in and tell us the definition of effeminate.
Well, I had somebody call in and say something.
Is that a test?
We have. Is this thing on? Chat
going to be tested on.
Are we live right now? Do we have any listeners?
Hello.
Is there anybody out there?
Is anybody out there? Am I all alone?
We would love to hear from you.
So I had to. I have to ask. The Virgin Mary. Now, people weren't very smart back in the day. They weren't that intelligent. But people had to.
Attack people who can't defend themselves.
Well, people had to have been. Welcome to the Intel Scanner Tuesday nights 8:30 p.m. People weren't that smart back in the day, but there was people that could still relay a story to you. They could still relay the Old Testament, you know, this God. So you have the Virgin Mary. So we have two possible scenarios to this story. Obviously, she wanted to get knocked up by the scariest, most intolerant, horrible, wicked entity of all time, or God forced himself upon her. So really what I'm getting at, was Jesus Christ a rape baby? Is that?
Ooh. Question. Tonight.
I think it clearly says that she willingly accepted.
She willingly.
Yeah.
So what we're saying is.
You can't rape the willing.
Is the right. Okay. So what we're saying is the Virgin Mary wanted to give birth.
One freaky
to
lady.
Scary. It was a total freak. And she wanted to give birth to the scariest, most wicked, intolerant entity of all time. And she was like, yeah, let's do this. Either way, it's a freaky story.
Either way, it's freaky.
Either way, it's a freaky story.
God of Abraham, bring it on.
The God of Abraham, exactly. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Is she might have not been able to read or write, but people were telling her like, yeah, man, this God of Abraham, boy, he's burning down city. He's murdering
children. Dropping frogs from the sky.
He wants children sacrificed to him. He wants people cutting the heads off their fucking children. He wants blood sacrifice. Yeah.
Blowing up cities.
Tell him my legs are open.
Pillars of salt.
I mean,
come on in. Is the God that created the universe really
God? Taste. some of that good dick. Oh, okay. Well, I just didn't know. So the consensus is that she was willing. So it wasn't a rape. So, I was worried. I was worried about that. God was a rapist. So looks like he's everything but a rape. He's a murderer. He's spiteful. He hates everybody. He wants you to murder your children for him, but not a rapist. So
nowadays, how would you go about doing that if you're the Virgin Mary? Would you like advertise on Craigslist? If you're God, please come do
it. Yeah, how would you? Because so many people, there's so many people on the planet
now.
You can't just pray.
I would absolutely answer that ad. I am God, and here I am. Yes, my child. What can I do for you? What is it that you are seeking? I have the answers.
Step forward, child, and repent your sins.
That is.
Get down on your knees before the Almighty.
You can come repent. Yes. Yes.
There are certain paths to salvation.
I'm on Facebook.
Which I offer.
Send a message.
I offer
we all
the,
have pages.
The one true path to salvation is through my semen. Now yes. Come on and get some. My goodness. And then they're all pregnant. I don't know.
You do bring up an interesting point, though, is if a woman did want to get knocked up by God, would it be Craigslist? Is that...
Yeah.
Should she charge for it? Shouldn't she be like, well, can I get like some stock options or something?
Yeah, Mary didn't do very good
with
that.
There was this girl a few years ago that was going through med school and auctioned off her virginity. And
is that happening
she was,
again?
She was,
it is. I just read
another
article.
It's happening
about that.
Again.
She's offered $500,000 so far.
Why would I want to sleep? Why
down.
Would I want to
the first one turned it down?
Why would I want to sleep with a virgin? Like I want to sleep with a bitch that already knows how to suck a dick.
Yeah,
that
doesn't even, knows what
why would I pay
doing?
For that? Like, fuck.
I don't want to train them.
No shit. I'm talking about that. That's for the idiot that would pay $1 million for it. Yeah, you break her in, bro. Because that's going to last all of 2 weeks and then fucking. Anyway.
That's why I always buy used cars. You know, somebody else has drove it first, but does it really matter? It's good.
Not what shape the body's in, how many miles are on the engine, right, baby? All right, here we are moving on at the New Testament section of the Intel Scanner. Beers and Bibles.
Oh, if you're a little low on male chauvinistic pig, just tune in every
Boy.
Tuesday
yeah,
at 8:30.
We're looking at the board here. We're down to no listeners. We're actually negative listeners.
Swimming in a sea of testosterone.
The NSA is about to blaze us out of the fucking sky.
Wow, yeah, really.
What's her name? What's that scary dyke woman
oh,
that runs the,
I do
the
see,
Paul Tano?
I do Sorry. See we have three listeners from hell.
Really?
From oh, hell?
Ooh. They're tuning in all the way from hell.
And that's the ISP didn't block us.
Well, they call in.
More appropriate.
They maybe they'll call in.
Email. Well, them people in hell need to get some Bible in them, so.
Yes. If anybody
if you're in hell and listening to us, please pick up a Bible and call now. Or don't pick up a Bible. Just call. We'll throw one at you.
Just, yeah. Our deacons here have plenty.
As long as you're circumcised, I guess. And it says here that if...
yes! Sing it, brother!
It says in Acts 15...
Is this where the moil comes in?
The moil.
Acts 15, okay.
Boy, it took a long time. Seinfeld was like the first Jew that like made Jew being
we're going back to
being a Jew cool.
Certain men came down from Judea,
what?
Taught the brethren, and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved.
It's kind of harsh, because you don't want your dick cut.
I gotta whack my weenie to be saved.
Bunch of schmucks.
That's a little harsh, man. Jeez.
Man.
Isn't the schmuck the fucking... part they cut off.
They commanded them, and yeah, so the Pharisees even believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the laws of Moses. So, lest ye be circumcised, you cannot be saved, apparently.
But
if you're standing there with a knife about to whack on that thing on me, I'm going to do whatever in the hell you say.
It's a damn good thing they do that to us when we're babies. That's bastards. Well, why in the hell?
That's what I'm thinking about. What if you were a baby that didn't have your dick cut and you're like 2 years old and you end up dying?
Shall we
so
start
now you just got to be this little 2 year old with a fucking uncut dick running around hell?
We need to start a baby's rights charter.
We do.
Right of circumcision. Yes.
They have a no, right. No, no. It has to be like the right to not burn in hell.
The right to not burn in hell.
That's the baby organization right there. The babies have the right to not burn in hell.
For the children.
It's always for the children.
Survival skills for the circumcised. That's the other side we got to do. There's a new church. Survival skills for hell for the circumcised.
I've always thought that was the weirdest thing anyway, circumcision. That's, well, I mean, why? I personally, I'm circumcised and whatever, but I wouldn't do that to anyone, you know what I mean?
Be like,
my son is born. Oh, what a joy. That's cut that end of his dick off.
I know. Where did that come from?
I don't know. It's
like they're hanging out in the cave somewhere and they were like, hey. What's wrong with your kid? Fuck, I don't know. Let's cut his dick. Let's fucking see what happens.
It's horrible.
Wow.
It's horrible. If it was me coming up with this shit, I wouldn't come up with that.
I don't,
you know, I mean.
Who's the first person to circumcise this?
I don't know.
Who would even think? Like, they're sitting there doing what? Pissing? Jacking out about to fuck or something? Like, you know what would be fun?
One of the laws of Moses.
If I take this really sharp rock and slice the fucking tip of my dick and pull it over itself. Who really even thought
take that whole piece right off of there.
Just, hey, no big deal. I want to... Because doesn't it cut like 80% of the feeling out of your dick?
Getting circumcised does take a lot of nerve endings out and a lot of the feeling away. I am circumcised and it feels great still, but whatever.
I don't know if I could do it more feeling than how would I've got feel right now. My brain would explode.
That's why they do it. That's why. That's
exactly during that Moses, self-abuse.
Moses was running around horny as fuck. And he was like, you know what? I need to cut my dick because I can't handle all this Egyptian and fucking bunch of hairy pussy running around. Boy, that'd have been some gross fucking gross pussy.
If I might just bring us along here, I just flipped to Romans 13:9.
Ooh, Romans.
And I like those guys.
I really do like this one. It's talking about love.
Ooh, and, I like love.
And
I love love.
Harmony.
Love is religion.
Must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality.
That is nothing. Well, this was Romans 13:9.
What brings us together today?
You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear
false
witness.
I would actually, just to read on, I would just follow like Romans, just verse 16 here would just be good on its own. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited.
Well, isn't that funny again about people of low position?
I
gotta wrap my brain around this. I got high friends in low places and low friends in high places, so help me out with this one.
I got a bunch of nothing and nada. I expect.
Exactly. It says be willing to associate with people of low position.
Okay, I got that one. I'm saved. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Don't you feel better now?
I do.
Don't you feel better?
You're
hanging out in heaven, chilling.
I got it.
Fucking
hell's afraid I'll take over. I got to go to heaven.
Bunch of virgins and shit.
Well, there is too.
Move on to chapter 13.
Are you gonna rain on my parade?
Submission to authorities. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established.
And this is in Paul?
This is in Romans, chapter 13, verse 1.
Really? The very first.
See, I don't like
Romans 1:1 talks about being a slave with Paul. From Paul, a slave.
The authorities that exist have been established by God.
Oh, you want to hear this in King James style.
Let's hear that.
Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Well, yeah.
This is let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but the power of God. The powers that be are ordained of God.
Well,
that reminds me of a quote.
What version is yours?
This is a King James something version.
And yours has a totally different interpretation.
And it's even a different King James.
That's not talking about government at all, really.
This reminds me of a historical quote.
It makes you think it's talking about the heavens.
Here in the United States, who is the guy that, ever seen the movie God's Army about the Mormons and all that kind of stuff? The guy that run around with the Mormons rounding people up and killing them. And when the army, it wasn't Brigham Young, was it? That led that army? Maybe it was. I can't remember. God, and I lived there for a lot of years. Anyway, when the army finally caught up with him and asked him why he was doing this. No, it wasn't Brigham Young. It was the guy running their little army, running around gathering everybody up that had left the church and bringing them back or killing them. And the army finally caught up with him, the cavalry did. And they asked him why he was doing this and if he was going to answer for it. And he said, I only take orders from two people, God and Brigham Young. And right now, God isn't speaking to me. Don't ask me why, but it just made me think of that.
Well.
Moving right along.
Get the Reverend back here.
So where are we at here? Moving past Romans.
Oh, we're
Romans.
Just going through some
I had a good one on... I think it was Timothy. Timothy?
Man, Romans is chock full of some good stuff. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wait, what's he going to do with my body when I offer it up?
It's pleasing.
Hey, you don't worry it's about pleasing. It. This, your body belongs pleasing to God. Pleasing to God. And I talk to God, and you just...
you just let him...
What a bunch of bullshit. Brigham Young bullshit. Ain't speaking, so... What a load of bullshit. Okay. Well, here, I got 2 Timothy 3. Here's this little... This is kind of a nice one. 3:12, 2 Timothy. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Think about what they're telling you right there.
Wait a minute. That was 2 Timothy 3:12?
3:12-14. I mean, think about what they're telling you. You need to just believe what's being told to you. And the reason you need to be assured of it is because you know the people that you're being told from. So, there you have it. Just a bunch. Mm-hmm. There you go. Oh, well, we'll move it right down here to 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Well, that's just a wrap-up right there. That's a motto for a publishing company right there. 2 Timothy 3:16. Let's run that back here, baby.
Yeah, do that
over. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Oh, you want to hear this NIV version? All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
The preface to all of that, 3:12, I'm going to read a shortened version of it, but that all kind of says the same thing. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So even though you get these good things, you're going to be persecuted for it.
It's the Jewish way.
Sounds like
way.
Marriage.
That's looking like the way it is.
It's the Jewish way.
Well, we're coming to the end here. Revelation, Omega, we have arrived at the end. I don't know. What's the scariest part of Revelation? I always like the... Oh, we got the 7 trumpets. We got the 7 seals.
Yo, but if we
how many movies have there been about 7 seals?
If we might before Revelations.
Oh, you got something. Oh,
one please. Quick one. Back on Luke, I've got words of Jesus to live by.
I like Jesus.
We've got Luke chapter 8, verse 45.
I can't find it.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John.
Oh, here we are. Luke what?
8:45 through 45 through 46.
Let's do it.
Who touched me? Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me.
Wow.
Well, I think we can just... do we need Revelation after that? They should have ended the Bible after that.
That was the final closing.
They should have been like, and that is Judgment Day, and get fucked. It's like right there. Yes. That was an awesome one. I remember when you found that fucking... You snuck it in. I had totally forgotten about that. That was a good one. We laughed the first time. Then Jesus like, is that really a line? I had to say that. Like, what? Come on.
Who touched me?
Like, and then no. And then Jesus said, "Who touched me?" It starts out like, huh?
Hey,
I get a great follow up for that. from Jude 1:3. Dear friends, I had been eagerly planning to write you about the salvation we all share, but now I find that I must write about something else, urging you to defend the faith that God has entrusted once for all time to his holy people.
And that is, a strongly worded message.
So much for salvation. It's time for you to carry the torch now, and it's all up to you, people.
I command you, write a memo.
I'm
going
to go have some drinks, go fucking go bang these Pharisees.
Passing the baton here. And
well, here we are. Fucking, do we have anything else from the New Testament before we close it down here for the
Revelations?
There's a
Revelation.
Saint Jude, that's pretty good.
Well, then I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000, from all the tribes of Israel.
That's right. From the 12 tribes.
From the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. From the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. From the tribe of Gad, 12,000. From the tribe of Asher, 12,000. Naphtali, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, Benjamin, I'm paraphrasing, all 12,000.
Those are the 12 tribes, though.
Yes.
12,000 from each one. And those are going to be the only ones left after the whole thing's said and done?
Yeah, well, allegedly 144,000.
Yeah, and that'd be 12.
And that's 1, it.
1,000 from each tribe.
Yep.
Which tribe are you? You know, join one today.
It's looking like those were already filled up. I don't...
Those are already preordained spots that are taken. And the rest of us are just screwed.
Seems that way.
Burning in an ocean of fire forever and ever. Oh, just our names unwritten from the book of life that we never existed. Is that what that is now?
Well, no, it talks about that in the end right here in the last few verses.
Ooh, here's one. Here's one. Revelation 6:1. Then I watched while the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice like thunder, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a white horse. The rider on the horse held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out determined to win the victory. Dun, dun, dun. What's next? Can you wait?
Got him.
Can you fucking handle it?
Here, Revelations 9:1. The fifth angel sounded his trumpet. And I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. When he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss.
And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. There came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as scorpions of the earth have power.
But they were told not to harm the grass of the earth, or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads.
Ooh, right.
Seal of God.
On our forehead?
Forehead.
Should we do that?
Let's put the seal of God on our forehead.
I don't want to go to hell!
I don't either.
Wait, so what is the seal of God?
What is that? How do we get it put on our forehead?
What's it look like?
We're going to open up a shop giving seals of God on your forehead.
I want mine.
It's our new thing, right? We're going to be offering seals of God on your forehead next week.
We'll cut it with a God-blessed razor blade.
Yeah. Step right up, folks. So, yeah, seals of God. We can have a half seal, quarter seal, three-quarter seal, or a full seal.
Platinum seal status.
Available today at reduced rates. All you got to do is sign up 5 more people for your seal.
Right. Well, good.
Make them pay for the cost of your seal today.
It's like a pyramid scheme.
Not a pyramid.
The devil's
not a pyramid scheme, damn it.
It's yours for only $12.
Boy, Christianity's fucking pyramid scheme. fucking worship of the devil's a pyramid scheme.
It's all just jeez. People trying to get shit from you.
Can't motherfuckers just be real? It has to be about my money. Like, can't you just worship God or worship the devil? You have to be just fucking playing me. Okay, well, here we are. Then I watched while the Lamb opened the sixth seal. That's what the, yeah. And then there was a great earthquake. The sun became like rough black cloth, and the whole moon became red like blood.
What chapter?
6:12.
You went back.
Did I go back?
Yeah, you did the fifth seal. He's
yeah, you did fifth. I'm on six.
Oh, all right.
Oh, yeah, because I jumped to the trumpet, that's why.
I jumped ahead the fifth. Oh! The fifth, too, so yeah.
See, I was wondering, I was like, this wording is really different.
It's not even written by like, the same person.
It's like, what is this? Is this the Bible?
I got what it says in the end about that wording, too, and all the different words that are written. It says something pretty profound.
I don't know. See, the sixth seal here is like Fukushima, though, if there was. The sixth seal, there was a great earthquake. The sun became like black cloth, and the whole moon became red like blood. And the stars in the sky fell to earth like figs falling from a fig tree when the wind blows. Mm-hmm. The sky disappeared as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved from its place. I don't know. That sounds
pretty tumultuous.
Sounds like you can read it to me.
That's a good one.
I guarantee you, when Yellowstone blows, that's what they will see.
The whole sky will be enveloped.
Well, if anyone wants
to know, Yellowstone's going to blow up tomorrow at 7:38 p.m. So before that happens, please make all your donations to us here so that we can stay on the air broadcasting the entire time until we all die.
Yes.
Please, $100 bills.
Write us on your will and then
we
kill yourself.
We do have a PayPal account. No.
We do. PayPal at
PuppetMasterPublishing.com. PayPal is the will with my name on it. Fucking, I'll do a great eulogy.
PayPal us at PuppetMasterPublishing.com. We're accepting donations?
Yes, absolutely.
And especially before Yellowstone blows tomorrow at 7:38.
Well, remember when we tried to launch the nukes at Yellowstone? It didn't work.
GMT time, mind you. So do the math on Greenwich, it for your time zone.
Greenwich. I haven't been to Greenwich in so long.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time. It's been a few years hanging out there with Harry. Prince Harry.
Potter.
Esquire.
Harry Potter. Prince Harry Potter.
Doing some croquet. Esquire. Hitting the cricket field.
Were the Hendersons there?
Well, I guess, let's go through here. We'll try to find this last little bit of revelation here.
Yeah, I've got some.
Blood poured over the earth. A third of the earth and all the green grass and a third of the trees were burned up. And a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living things in the Z died. And a third of the ships were destroyed. This is how you fucking end a story. This is how you fucking end a story.
It's interesting. It's referenced again in chapter 16. In verse 3. And the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea. And it turned into blood like that of a dead man. And every living thing in the sea died.
Sounds like Fukushima.
The third angel.
Where are we at?
16.
So that, 16:3.
Oh, 16.
I believe we call that the red tide.
And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood.
Oh, it's 16:3. Ooh.
I got a beer. Can I have a bottle?
Yeah, boy, I have it. I need to go through it.
And then 16:15, in the words of Jesus.
I know what Daddy's jacking off to tonight.
Behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him, so that he may not come naked and be shamefully exposed.
Ooh!
Ooh.
Well, we are putting things together here on the Intel Scanner Tuesday nights. We hope you enjoyed the show. This has been a fun one.
We do have a special announcement.
Special announcement
for our listeners who stuck around.
Oh boy, we are starting our own church, and we are going to be combining all powers, all. We're really interested in the Mormon church. We think it's really fun what they did, how they took just rewrote the whole New Testament, added on a whole new book. We want to add our own on.
That's a great idea.
Onto the Mormon.
Our advertising and marketing department actually came up with a name for this temple.
For our new temple.
Are you ready for this?
For
this
your listening pleasure.
This is the Church of Modern Day Saints of the Apocalypse.
Whoa, ooh, how that good sounds is that? Official.
How is that? Is that?
That's our new official religion around here.
That's right. Well, we're
looking for C1.
We are looking for tax exempt status.
We are looking for
C3105 status.
Yes. 501C3.
That was the
book has been wholly ordained, and we will be disseminating that information.
And we are ready to take your money and sell you hope and dreams.
Do God's work for the children with it.
We're going to dig wells in Africa for the children.
We're going to dig wells. We're not even going to dig wells. We're going to speak to people. We're going to bring them the word. We're going to bring the word to everyone who needs it.
I want to touch them.
That's yes, right.
Exactly. I was gonna get to that. I was gonna.
we're gonna
with the word.
We're gonna penetrate their minds with the word of the Lord.
Oh, we're gonna penetrate
the saints of the Latter Day Apocalypse. What is it?
The modern,
oh, we have
modern,
touch modern the deepest the darkest crevices of
modern
of
day
soul.
Saints of the Apocalypse.
Saints of
the modern day
church, the church of modern day saints of the apocalypse. Well, this was Beers and Bibles Intel Scanner Tuesday nights. I would like to just wrap this up with, in honor of the Bible, the last words of Revelation. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen.
Amen.
God bless the Intel Scanner.
Hey, Bob, why don't you hand me that book over there?
This here, Last Days of the Proletariat?
Ooh, Last Days of the Proletariat. Boy, that's a good one.
Burn it all.
Burn it!